and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Another terrific Thursday down here in Florida. Hope everybody else is having a blessed day. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, it's absolutely wonderful. I feel great. My energy's through the roof. It's going to be a good show. So, yeah, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it, bud.
Absolutely. Well, first thing I want to start off, guys, and this is something that was pretty irritating to me today after I watched all this and read about it, but I have to cover it to pretty much, you know, give the Patriot community and our listeners and America the understanding of what's really going on and how blatant the government is and the FBI and the CIA is about everything that's been released. And they're not even trying to hide it. They're not even trying to do damage control. James Comey, the head of the FBI, had a press conference yesterday. I don't know if anybody had a chance to watch it yet. And before I go into that, I pulled up, you know, the verbatim judicial background on the Fourth Amendment and what it exactly is. I'm going to read it to you guys real quick to see if there's any misinterpretation with this, and there's not. But I'm going to read it anyways. The Fourth Amendment is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, meaning any type of communication, i.e. cell phones, computer, against unreasonable searches, seizures, shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Goes on to say, as far as describing it here, it requires governmental searches and seizures to be conducted only upon issuance of a warrant, judicially sanctioned by probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. It is part of the Bill of Rights and was adopted in response to abuse of the right of assistance, which was a type of general search warrant issued by any British government official and a major source of tension in the pre-revolutionary war. What they would do is pretty much anybody in the British government could write what was called a right of assistance, and it would give any military, police, whatever, full disclosure, full access to anything and everything you had. Kick in the door, 2 o'clock in the morning, take your stuff, didn't matter if it was probable cause, didn't matter if you did anything wrong, didn't matter if they have any idea, didn't matter if they didn't like you. They could write it, they could search your crap, that's how it happened. This made a huge, huge impact on the writing of the Fourth Amendment in the United States, because they knew that if you could not secure your possessions, whether it be via paper, via email, via words, you know, recordings, people talking to one another, if these things could not be safe, then the government could literally go out of control with anything and everything, because anything you did say or write could no longer be private. Under the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, including arrest, should be limited in scope according to a specific information supplied to the issuing court by a law enforcement officer who has sworn by it. We knew in 2001 the Patriot Act pretty much gutted the Fourth Amendment. We knew that. But the NSA continued to do a lot of their spying. We knew a lot of this. We've seen it. But they've still tried to act like at least the Fourth Amendment applied to most of them. After this press conference yesterday with James Comey, they are so brazen, so blatant in our face that the Fourth Amendment no longer exists, that it's an old memory, that it's a relic to old America. It's nauseating to me. They're not even trying to do damage control. They are flat out admitting that the Constitution no longer exists. And back to James, what he said yesterday, he went on to go stating that Americans should not accept that their conversations or communications are private. And I quote, he said, "There is no such thing as absolute privacy in America. There is no place outside of judicial reach. Even our communications with our spouses, with our clergy members, with our attorneys are not private in America." He is then tempted to normalize the mass surveillance that the government is engaged in, as exposed over the last few days via the WikiLeaks and latest of what we released this week, and continue to say that we all value privacy. We all value security. We should never have to sacrifice one for another. But then continues to go on and say how we have absolutely no expectation of absolute privacy in this country, and anything can be taken or listened to or spied upon us without any type of reasonable cause. Now, the Fourth Amendment essentially does not apply, is what he directly implied in this press conference. Now, guys, you have to understand what is going on with this now. The CIA has had these documents leaked on them, that they had their NSA inside of the CIA that has no bounds. They are not held to any accountability. They do not have to follow any law. It got released that they're blatantly doing this. They're putting malware in TVs and listening to everybody's conversations at will, and you don't even know it. They don't have to have a warrant. They don't have to have probable cause. They don't have to have a judge write off on it. They do it at will. And the FBI and the CIA is not even trying to come out and say, yeah, we've gotten out of control with some of this. Maybe we need to put some stipulations. No, they're coming out and saying, you have no expectation of privacy in this country. Your conversations with your spouse are not even private. This is wild, Dad. The fact that they're this brazen now just goes to show you that the globalists are in full-blown panic mode. They can't even try to hide what is going on anymore. They have to blatantly shove it in our face because they have no other option. The cockroaches have had the lights shined upon them now. Now it's our turn to figure out what we're going to do.
Well, what the cockroaches did, they bowed up in a lat spread, flexed their biceps, and said, poo on you. We're going to do what we want to do. And there's nothing you can do about it, because don't you know, you no longer have any rights, and the cockroaches are going to run all over your house now. There's nothing you can do, because we're the cockroaches and we run the world. And again, this goes back to what we talked about on Tuesday's show. If you missed Tuesday's show, you got to listen to it. We went into detail on who runs the world, how the planet is controlled, and we're not going to do that again today. Though I'd like to. I love talking about that stuff, because every time I talk about that stuff, we get deluged with emails about, wow, that was a great show. So thank you when you send me those emails. But the reality is this. They know they're in charge. And remember, I told you guys, if we keep getting chemtrails, okay, Trump's not in charge. It's the deep state's in charge. Because Trump, or either Trump knows about it and doesn't care, or we've been played. We've been played like a cheap hooker, I guess you could say. I don't even know how to respond to what Trump has done to us as far as the civil forfeiture. I mean, he's agreed to that, that's okay. I mean, he agreed that, you know, he was going to lower all of our pharmaceutical prices. He changed his mind on all that. I mean, he's pretty much making deals with everybody who basically represents the globalists. And it's kind of like, let's make a deal with the devil. And let's try to get the best deal we can. And sometimes you don't need to make a deal with the devil. In fact, you never need to make a deal with the devil. Let me rephrase that. You need to just cast the devil out and just tell the devil, hey, you know, get the blankety blank out of my house. I'm done with you. And you have no right here. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Christ over this house, this property. I put a hedge of thorns around my place. You don't belong here, and we're not going to allow you to be here. So here's the problem. You know, we've got to try to figure out, you know, what's going on with Trump. And don't get me wrong. I was all about Trump. You guys know that, because I was all about not having Hillary Clinton as president. But quite frankly, I think we're looking at, you know, at this point in time, if he starts sending more troops in Afghanistan, more troops into Syria, starts increasing more troops in Iraq, starts increasing the presence in the Middle East after he said he wanted to get our troops out of all that mess, then we're going to say, well, you know, it's that song from The Who. I need to play that one time. Won't get fooled again. I mean, you guys, I mean, if you don't like rock music, don't listen to it, because it's probably one of the greatest rock songs of all time by The Who. I think it was in 1973. And what was interesting, if you have to remember where that song was written, that song was written right at the end of the of Nixon's, you know, presidency, right when he's in his impeachment stuff. It was right at the end of the war with Vietnam. And, you know, all these rock bands had enough of it, and there were so many of them were doing war protests. And basically, finally at the end of the song, he says, meet the new boss. He's the same as the old boss. So guys, I hope this isn't true. I hope the Who song and the Who ballad isn't playing in Technicolor for us right now, because quite frankly, at this point, Trump's done some good things, but guys, dealing with the devil is never going to work. When you start dancing with the devil in the moonlight, you're going to have some problems later on down the road. You know, you may make a deal with him right now, It's always going to be trickery. It's always going to be deceit. It's always going to be lies. It's always going to be just trash. You got to walk away from it. It's like Vladimir Putin said a few years ago. He goes, the West basically worships Lucifer or Satan. He goes, and if they want to do that, that's up to them. But you can leave Russia out of it. Now, you know, here's the thing. Who in the world would have ever thought that we would be holding up a Russian leader as a benchmark when we had Obama in? Now, I really hope that we can hold Trump up, and that just this first 60 days in office is something he's just trying to get the kinks worked out of everything. That's what I'm hoping, Austin. Because right now, you know, with his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, being in bed with George Soros, that $259 million deal with Cadre Development, all of this stuff going on, we're finding out all of this stuff, that, you know, they're part of the Shabbat, his family is, you know, which has been known to work with the Mossad for years and years and years and work with the Israeli intelligence. I mean, this whole thing is just getting really, really weird. In fact, Dennis Kunich, he in the WikiLeaks, he said they're actually revealing proof that we are sliding down the slippery slope towards totalitarianism. Now, basically that means no privacy, the government's going to be completely and totally control of everything. Let me read you what he said. If Tuesday WikiLeaks document dump is authentic, which it appears to be, then the agency left open electronic gateways that make all Americans vulnerable to spying, eavesdropping, and technological manipulation that could bring genuine harm. That the CIA has reached into the lives of all Americans through its wholesale gathering of the nation's haystack of information has already been reported. It is bad enough that the government spies on its own people. It is equally bad that the CIA, through its incompetence, has opened the cyber door to anyone with the technological skills and connections to spy on anyone else. The constant erosion of privacy at the hands of the government and corporations has annihilated the concept of the right to privacy and, of course, the First, Third, Fourth, Ninth, and Fourteenth Amendments to the Constitution. It has become increasingly clear that we are sliding down the slippery slope towards totalitarianism where private lives do not exist. We have entered a condition of constitutional crisis that requires a full-throated response from the American people. I've repeatedly warned about the dangers of the Patriot Act and its successive iterations, the execrable national security letters that turn every FBI agent into a star chamberlain. The dangers of fear-based security policies are eroding our public. You know, I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. He's a judge, local judge, and he was Jewish descent. He became a Messianic Christian. And I remember when we went into Iraq, I was talking to him on the phone, because these guys have been friends of mine for over 30 years. And I told him, I said, this is unbelievable that we're doing this. I cannot believe that we are doing this, that this is crazy, 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 that we are going to war with Iraq over weapons of mass destruction, which do not exist. And his response to me is, well, he's a tyrant, he needs to be taken out. And my response was, he didn't do anything to us. You know, the Saudis were the ones that were involved in 9/11. What in the world are we doing here attacking Iraq? And he just went off about yelling about Saddam Hussein, carrying on, all this other stuff, and how the Patriot Act was good and all this. Here's the thing, guys. You know, I saw the Patriot Act for what it was, because it was the German Enabling Act from 1933, 1,500 pages of it, pre-written before 9/11 ever happened, you know, put together, just waiting for the event, for the precipitating incident, the false flag, to happen to allow the government to pass this in a state of frenzy, to force it down the American people's throat through shock and awe. They shocked our psyche into accepting something like this. Back in 2001, when the Patriot Act was passed, we should have had millions of people marching on Washington in protests and basically throwing these bums out, because this is where it was going to go. And then, of course, the NSA gets started, all the other crap under George W. It's just a giant, giant, giant hog trough in Washington is all it is. It's a swamp. It's a hog trough. It's a nauseating, pedophiled, you know, brothel. I mean, it's just unreal what's going on in our nation's capital. And we, the people, unless we can get Trump to stop making deals with the devil, are going to be caught in the crossfires. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you this again, and I've said it on a few shows. Right now, the economy is starting to heat up quickly because of all the rhetoric that Trump's doing, all the deregulation that Trump's doing, all the stuff that's happening. The stock market's at an all-time high because the banks have bought the stocks. It's going to be very easy for us to go into a hyperinflationary cycle right now. Very, very easy. And when prices start going back up, job scarcity start happening, everybody starts, you know, making more money because the money becomes less and less valuable. The government has already said that they want mention to decrease the value of the dollar against the other international currencies, which is in effect what that will do, that will monetize the debt. In other words, you take $20 trillion that you owe with a dollar worth X amount of dollars, you decrease the value of the dollar, you basically, if you cut the dollar to half, now that debt basically went to half. That fast, just that quick, that's how you do it. You basically make it, it takes twice as many dollars to pay the same amount of debt now. So you make the debt worth half. And so that's how they do it a lot of times when they start doing hyperinflation. I'm telling you this right now, guys, and you can mark my word for it here in March, they're setting us up. You know, this is a calm before a storm. You know, peace and safety, the Bible says, and then, you know, all this stuff starts happening. So something's going to happen here pretty quick, you know, with what's going on with the debt ceiling, the debt cap, with Deutsche Bank, all of this stuff. We've got a big mess. I mean, why are we massing troops in Eastern Europe? Why are we doing that? Why are we continuing to do that? And Donald Trump is president. He is commander-in-chief of the military. Isn't he? I'm asking a question. Isn't he? I mean, do we really know who runs the country now? Do we really, really know who runs the military? How do we know the CIA? Because it's self-funded through the drugs they bring in. Remember this. They're funded through the Exchange Stability Fund. They have their own set of budgets, their own set of revenue streams that's over $1 trillion a year with drugs they're bringing in. They don't answer to Congress. Congress doesn't have to fund these guys. Even if Trump defunds the CIA, if Trump defunds the NSA, these black operations don't necessarily have to stop because of all the drug money that's coming in. The only way to stop the drug money, to stop these guys from having this ability, is to shut down these military bases, bring all of our planes home, bring all the military people home. They've shut the bases down, give them back to the sovereign countries they belong in, to stop the lily pad effect of these guys hopping all over the planet. Something has to be done. This deep state since 1947 has sunk its tentacles so deeply into the United States. It's like Rolling Stone called it. It's a giant vampire squid that's just basically sucking the life out of our country and out of the entire world, which is the Khazarian Mafia, which we've talked about over and over and over again. And these guys are at the tip of the iceberg as far as what's happening and who's in control, and they only answer to Lucifer through their magicians and their magic, their sorcerers and all the crazy stuff they do that we read about in the Old Testament, that we know they do in their weird worship services they still do when they sacrifice these young children and human beings to Lucifer. This is a major, major mess, Austin, and very good opening statement, because you're absolutely right. We have gone down this slippery slope, and now we're back to tyranny. We're back to this. We're back to absolutism. We're back to totalitarianism. All of this stuff that we've read about in 1776 that King George had done to the colonies, it's all done to us again. Yes. All of it, every bit of it. They were under the stranglehold of the British pound way back when. They didn't want to be under that stranglehold. They wanted their own currency. In fact, they started putting currency all over the place. In fact, Benjamin Franklin said that was one of the primary reasons for the Revolutionary War was the currency. In addition to that, not having the vote. I mean, all of this stuff. Austin, I don't remember voting on civil asset forfeiture. I don't remember voting on any of that.
Nope.
And now Trump has just met with major corporations again, and the Congress is voting right now. Let me give you this latest one. This is absolutely nuts. This is absolutely unreal that they're actually doing this to us. The Republicans right now plan a coup in the House, gutting the established class action lawsuit laws. Without holding as much as one public hearing, the Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives are hoping to show their loyalty to their corporate masters and make it next to impossible for citizens to bring class action lawsuits against corporate wrongdoers. A vote will be held today on H.R. 985, a bill with the Orwellian reverse-speak title of Fairness in Class Action Litigation of 2017. While the media is absorbed in the wild accusations tweeted out by the President of the United States and with CIA and the NSA, corporations are solicitously using the media distractions to repeal a century of hard-fought gains in labor and civil rights protection. The bill was introduced by Bob Goodlatte, a Republican from Virginia. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, the largest donors to the Goodlatte political campaign in 2016, listen to this, were multinational corporations and their trade associations. The legislation is so bad the American Bar Association, which represents both the plaintiff and defense counsel, sent a strident letter to House members on Monday. Thomas Suzman, Director of Governmental Affairs for the ABA, said it would create a nearly insurmountable burden for people who have suffered personal injury. Also, listen to this, with immunizations, guys, same thing, or economic loss at the hands of large institutions with vast resources, effectively barring them from bringing any class action lawsuits in the future. Guys, you just think, well, what is all this about?
they can make stuff that poisons you. Like, let's look at Monsanto. Let's just take Monsanto for an example here. Why don't we do Monsanto, since they're the Luciferian Corporation? How about Luciferian Corporation Monsanto? We all find out, we bring a class action lawsuit, that Monsanto is killing us with Roundup, that they're killing us with all of these chemicals they're putting into the soil, into the food, that they're setting up a doggone monopoly on seed distribution, that they're helping to poison us with all of the aluminum, with the chemtrails. Let's say they're involved in all of it. And enough of us finally have enough of this, and we say, we're going to sue you for what you've done to the soil and the air, since your own research shows back in the 70s, when you brought Monsanto out and you started working with it, that it caused all these different types of cancer, so now we're going to sue you. So now guess what? You can't do a class action lawsuit anymore. This is what this is about. This might as well be the Monsanto law against class action lawsuits. Because enough people are waking up to what these corporations are doing with the poisoning of the chemicals in their ecosystem and the human beings that they're putting poison into, that they're targeting our immune systems with, we'll no longer be able to go after them, Austin, with class action lawsuits. Unreal. Again, this action could come across Congress. If it goes through the Senate, Trump needs to veto it immediately. And if he vetoed it, but we'll see what he does with his corporate masters. Guys, you can't serve two masters. The Bible says you can't have fresh and salt water coming from the same spring. You can't do that. You either got to be the guy who you said you were when you were running for the president, or you got to be the guy who's got himself compromised now because he's dancing with the devil in the moonlight. We got to figure this stuff out pretty doggone quick, because if we don't, we need to start protesting Trump as patriots and saying, hey, you told us you were going to do this. Hey, you're not doing this. Hey, why can't we sue Monsanto? We already know he doesn't really care about labeling laws. We already know that. We already know now he doesn't care about civil asset forfeiture. Let's see what he does here about suing large corporations. Because remember, guys, these large corporations, through their interlocking corporate directorships, are almost all owned by the big banks now. The Rothschild banking cartel. They own all these major corporations, and they're taking this corporation stuff to a new level here with this massive stranglehold in which they'll be completely safe from any lawsuits, regardless of who they poison and what they do to the earth or what they do to anybody. No class action lawsuits, which makes it impossible for one plaintiff to go in and sue a huge corporation. Because I remember one time I was talking to a guy who worked for, I think it was Walmart, and Walmart gets stuck with, they get constant lawsuits, again, from individuals because they slip and they fall, or something breaks in the store and they slip and they fall. And some of the lawsuits are real, some of the lawsuits are not. They have an entire corporate staff of attorneys, probably hundreds of them on staff by now. They're on salary. They get paid the same amount of money whether they're busy or not. It doesn't cost Monsanto or Walmart or any of these big corporations any more money in most cases if they have their own internal lawyers working for them. So they don't care. So one individual says, hey, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to sue you for this. Then suddenly they come back and they request all of this. They have all this evidence, evidentiary hearings, and they start tying them up in court for years, if not decades. This is how it works in the legal system. I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. He was a kid, and he was driving a motorcycle, and he kind of went through a roadblock with the police, ended up getting arrested, and he got himself an attorney, and that's what the attorney did. The attorney asked for, like, oh gosh, I mean, it was like 40 pages of research, of evidence, of everything that happened. And finally, the kid, they just pretty much dismissed the case. He got some community service, no charges against him, because the legal system wasn't capable of handling that type of onslaught. You think, well, was that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know what it was. It was what he did. Now, this is exactly what the corporations do to people. If they poison you and you say, you poisoned me, the first thing they're going to say, prove it. They're going to sit and say, they're going to say, how do we know you took our product? You have a open bottle of the product? Do you have a videotape of you taking the product? Who saw you take the product? What's the timestamp on this product? Who in the world's involved with you other than you? I want to talk to all your neighbors. I want to talk to all your cousins. I want to talk to everybody. We're going to have a deposition. In fact, we're going to have a deposition every 3 weeks. We're going to have a deposition every 3 weeks for 12 hours in one day. And we're going to continue to do this for the next 4 or 5 years until we can find that you say something that you didn't say at another deposition, or you trip up on your own words, and they're going to find you for perjury. And they're going to, this is how they do it, guys. This is how the attorneys work. This is what they do when you get this high-level corporate law. That's why when you have multiple plaintiffs, you get 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40,000 people who are suing a large corporation like Monsanto for poisoning us with glyphosate, then what ends up happening is the attorneys can put sometimes tens of millions of dollars in these large law firms into retainers and into fees to cover the cost of this long process of litigation. When you stop the ability to do class action lawsuits, the single individual simply can't afford to go against that type of behemoth in the courtroom, Austin. What do you think?
No, that was a really good synopsis on exactly what that means, because a lot of people, I think, when they hear about it, you know, because a lot of people who aren't involved in court and haven't been involved in lawsuits, they hear class action lawsuits, like, oh, okay, this and that. But you're exactly right. If they completely strip us from this, it's going to be 1986 all over again on a whole nother level, because the way that it happens in 1986 with the Vaccine Act, where they don't allow the vaccine manufacturers to be sued for anything anymore, that was a whole nother level, because now all of a sudden the vaccine, and is a perfect example, the vaccine manufacturers have no accountability whatsoever.
Right.
They're not held to anything. They can put whatever they want in any vaccine they want at any time they want, and there's nothing anybody can do about it except try and go for the vaccine compensation fund with the federal government, who's only paid out like 3,100 cases over the past, like, what, 15, 20 years. That's it. Nothing. That's nothing they've done. So you have to realize that if this happens, there will be no living with them, so to speak. These guys, all these companies, all these giant corporations that already make billions of dollars a year off ruining people's health and lives and still have to fess up money and lawsuits, now they will have zero accountability. They won't even need to have 20 or 30 attorneys on staff at all times, because nobody's going to be able to sue them for anything that happens, and they will have zero regulations as far as what they'll have to abide by, zero accountability to the public. So, man, I didn't even hear about that, Dad. I'm really glad you brought that up. I didn't know anything about that at all.
Well, this is on a web. See, and here's the thing. Like, I send out a lot of emails to my personal list that we don't send to the company, and this is one of those. This lady's a liberal who wrote this, And here's what I always say. Even a blind squirrel will find an acorn every once in a while. And this is what she does. Every once in a while, she'll send out a really, really good article like this. Now, 80% of her stuff is just way too liberal for me. It really is. But now, she was a big Bernie Sanders promoter and really covered and slammed Hillary throughout the entire primary process, which I commended her for. I mean, I actually sent her an email and said, you know, well done. Considering that you're a liberal, you're slamming Clinton. She goes, Clinton's a thief. You know, so this is the thing that people need to realize, guys, is that, you know, we've got to understand something here. We're under a corporate fascist control system, a control grid now. We've all seen it. Our TVs are monitoring us. Our dishwashers are monitoring us. Our refrigerators are monitoring us. Our cell phones are monitoring us. Our iPads are monitoring us. Everything's spying on us. I mean, and here's the big problem, Austin, that I didn't mention, and I mentioned it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. Is that they can plant evidence on our computers, they can plant evidence on our phones, they can plant evidence on recordings, they can tamper with it. So when they have the ability to do this, they can say, well, Joe Smo did this. Joe Smo is looking at this on the internet. Joe Smo had this on his computer. Joe Smo is a spy. He's working with Russia. Here's the proof. Here's the proof right here on his computer. And Joe Smo never even turned a doggone computer on in the last 5 years. The reason for it is they could turn stuff off and on. It's crazy. I mean, they can turn it off and on. They can download junk into your hard drive. They have the ability to do that. Like I said the other day, Zuckerberg runs around with a piece of tape over the camera on his iPad and on his iPhone, because he doesn't want people watching him and seeing what he's doing. And since I've read that these computer guys that are a lot smarter with computers do that, I do that with my own stuff now. I'm like, gosh, this is ridiculous. I got to cover up my doggone camera unless I'm going to use it, because people can just turn it on and see what you and your wife are doing. Hanging out with your wife, you know. What are you guys doing? You know, it's so funny. It's one of these days, we're going to be sitting there. It's like that stupid OnStar. That stupid OnStar in General Motors products. Excuse me, guys. I want a tirade. I got to rant for a second. I've got a pickup truck. The other day, I'm driving down the road, and somebody just starts talking to me, trying to sell me something on OnStar. And I said, what the heck are you doing? I'm pushing the buttons, trying to hang up on. I can't hang up. Can't hang up. And I'm like, this is crazy. So then I pushed the emergency button, and they call me back like 5 minutes later. They go, what's the emergency? Did your airbag go off or something? Are you okay? What's going on? I'm like, guys, this is nuts. I don't want you calling me up. I don't want you giving me solicitation messages. I don't want you contacting me on this thing when I'm trapped in the car with you. This is not cool to me. I'm not okay with this. I feel like I'm in a doggone, hey, Ted and Sharon, what do you guys want to do today? You guys want to go get some dinner? You want to get some lunch today? I'm like, who is this? Well, we're the guys from OnStar. We saw you online, and we've been hacking into your cell phones, and we like that restaurant you guys go to, so we want to kind of join you tonight. Who are these people? That's how bad it is, Austin.
Yep. No, that's exactly where it's gone now. Remember, I did that article on LG last month, how LG is coupled with the Amazon, the box that they have that listens to everything, with that girl that in Texas told the Amazon stick that she wanted to have cookies and a dollhouse, and it was there in 2 days. Nobody authorized it. Nobody signed a credit card. Nobody approved it. Didn't matter. Still went out. The exact same thing with the TVs now. They have the LG Smart, or the LG Smart Refrigerator, excuse me, that actually has cameras on the inside and out. It looks at everything you have in your refrigerator. It can set up notifications to say, hey, Joe, your milk's getting low. You only have 2 eggs left. You should probably go buy more. What? Why in the world does anybody want to have that anywhere near them? And then it's worse, it even has sensors on the outside that listen to you so it can give you better customer service and feedback. So if you go, oh man, babe, this food wasn't very good tonight, this sauce didn't turn out, the refrigerator hears you. And then the next time you go, well, we need to get some more of this sauce, it'll respond back and say, no, Joe, remember, you don't want that sauce. Back on March 8, 2017, you said you didn't like it. And you guys think I'm making this up, but it's true. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about this stuff with dishwashers and televisions, and we're listening to you, and everybody goes, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That is conspiracy theory at its finest. And I'm like, no, it's really not. This is actually the technology they're blatantly coming out with. Oh, no, that's nonsense. You need to go put on a tinfoil hat. That'll never happen. Now the CIA blatantly has malware called Weeping Angel that digs into your TV. When it says the TV's off, it's listening to 100% of your conversations without a search warrant. Vault 7 WikiLeaks, look it up if you don't believe me. This is where we're at now with everything that's going on. And people for years and years and years now have said, it's not going to happen. It won't be like that. They can't do it without a search warrant. Guys, wake up call. They're doing it without a search warrant, and they are not even trying to act like they care what you think about it. They're blatantly coming out and saying you have no expectation of privacy, even with the conversation with your spouse anymore. We'll listen to anything we want, wherever we want, however we want, and we'll record it and keep it on our servers just for posterity. And if you don't like it, guess what? Go move up in North Fork in Montana and live off the grid and don't have communication with anybody else, because that's pretty much the only option you have left anymore. And even at that now, with the satellite spying they have, you can hardly get away from anything else as well. So this is what's happened now. And then you even have the Washington Post. I forgot to mention it earlier, Deb. The Washington Post, because we know that they're just absolutely, you know, fake news to the hilt. Their response now after the Vault 7 got leaked, you know what their response was? The Russians are behind it. The Russians leaked it. The Russians hacked into the CIA and got all this information and leaked it out. That's what they're saying now. It's the Russians' fault again. It's like the same thing over and over and over again with these guys. As soon as something comes out, they blame the person that had nothing to do with it, because that's the only thing they know how to do. Except nobody wants to talk to them about the fact that Bezos, who owns Amazon and who owns the Washington Post now, just did a $600 million contract with the CIA, which I talked about 2 weeks ago, to host all their servers. So that blatantly tells you right there, Amazon, CIA, connected to the hip, absolutely together, in bed with one another. That's why I've said before, and I've said 100 times, I really, really, really don't like Amazon. From the consumer standpoint, they have some incredibly great options, incredibly fast shipping. They love to cut their prices and completely hammer all of the retailers on the market. But for consumers, they're great. As far as privacy, America, the American dream, actually having the ability to have commerce and make money on stuff? Absolutely not. They want to rip everybody off. They want to control everything you look at. And then on top of that, after you buy it, they want to monitor everything you do with that toy or that machine or that listening device thereafter. So Amazon, as far as I'm concerned, is completely compromised with the CIA. That's why I highly suggest you guys don't support them. Probably won't make a big effect on their price or their cash flow, because they're huge already anyways. But still, as I told you guys before, if you don't agree with what somebody's doing, if you're not supporting of what they do, why in the world are you going to continue to give them money? Just my thought on that, Dad.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Harry Truman, the guy who, you know, basically nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki, guy was kind of a loon, to be honest with you. Let millions of German soldiers starve to death after World War II instead of airdropping them food. I mean, I have no respect for them whatsoever. There's absolutely no reason to drop those bombs on Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Now, they could have done a detonation 10 miles up, and they could have just showed everybody what was fixing to get dropped on them, and they could have done that very easily. I mean, 40, 50,000 feet, they could have detonated that bomb. And then they may have had a hard time back then because the bombers couldn't quite get that high at altitude and still have enough room to get away. But they could have easily detonated it at 30,000 feet out over the ocean, you know, 10 miles. Said, okay, we're going to drop one of these puppies on you at the next time. And so, and then they dropped another one. Now, you know, but Truman also did something really, really stupid. He's the one who started the CIA. You know, when that mess happened with Roswell, you know, he needed to have something, and the OSS became the CIA. That was all Truman's doing, and he did that. He signed all of that. But what was interesting, because he ended up doing writing a letter about this, about what happened, because they called it Truman's homespun honesty and common man persona, you know, sometimes wore thin. He deserves enormous credit for the startling admission that he regretted the CIA. He started the CIA. In fact, Ms. Merrill Miller, Mr. President, I know you were responsible as president for setting up the CIA. How do you feel about it now? And his response is very, very succinct and clear. He goes, I think it was a mistake. And if I had known what I know now and knew what was going to happen, I would have never done it. Let me continue reading this. It says, this is decidedly not the kind of thing ex-presidents usually say. We wouldn't expect George Bush to announce his regrets over invading Iraq anytime soon. But Truman's instincts were right, even if he couldn't have imagined what the CIA and the entire deep state nexus would become. In Truman's era, spying and subterfuge were physical endeavors involving skilled agents and analog technology. Today, the covert arts don't require James Bond, but instead a trained technician who can pull information from a server anywhere in the world. And that's what we have now. We have basically gone into this consolidated society with all these electronics in which people can hack into this stuff and do whatever they want to do. This is an article by Jeff Deese, by the way, if you want to look it up. So guys, and it's called Regretted Creation. Truman was right about the CIA. He regretted creation of the agency during his administration. Guys, it's really important that we realize this deep state has to be dismantled. The NSA has to go away. The CIA has to go away. All of these organizations have to go away if we're ever going to get our country back, period. And see, we have to make the Congress guys understand this. We've got to get rid of these guys, and we have to stop the drug running out of Afghanistan. We've got to stop the CIA from running the human organs throughout the world using their airport, their military bases to do the hops. We've got to stop the CIA from running cash around the world. We've got to stop the CIA from trafficking children for pedophiles around the world. They're involved in all of this stuff. This is the Khazarian mafia. This is the guys who are running this. This is all mafioso stuff. This is all deep undercover mafia stuff they're doing, working with the Vatican Bank, laundering money, all of this stuff, guys. It is so corrupt. When we had Robert David Steele on last week, which is another show you need to listen to, he said nobody has any idea how pervasive this has become in the entire society around the world. So it's some crazy stuff. And you know what's still funny to me? You know, so many people now, Austin, they're listening to our show, and they're saying, they call me up, they know me, and they say, well, you know, Ted, when you started telling me about this stuff 4 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I thought, well, there's no way any of this is true. And you always said to me, well, if 10% of it is true, we got a problem. And you know, now I realize it's not 10%. It's like everything you say is accurate. And it's like, this is a major, major mess. And we've got to deal with it pretty quick. If we don't, the world is going to go over to Lucifer. I'm telling you guys, that's where this is. They're still taking that Arch of Baal, that Baal temple, and they're still moving it around the planet, you know, basically bringing in their demons. That's what they're trying to do. Guys, it's not what you think it is. It's much, much different than the world thinks it is, and it's definitely not what mainstream media thinks it is. What's your next story, Oz?
Speaking of no rights in Europe and the whole reason why we came to this country, or at least a large portion of why we did, a French mayor now has appeared in court on charges of inciting hatred for his remarks last year. Get this. In which he said there were too many Muslim children at the schools in his city and implied that the ethnic French population was being replaced. This is the mayor, Robert Menyard, mayor of southern town of Béziers, appeared before Paris criminal court on Wednesday for the launch of his trial, being charged with incitement of hatred in relation to two statements he made last year. These were the words that he said last year. This is why he's being charged with incitement of hatred, and he's going in for a court now. He stated, in a class in the city center of my town, we're running right around 91% of the children are Muslims. Obviously, there is a problem. There are limits to this tolerance. Then he went on to say on a second occasion, these classes represent the most striking proof of the great replacement in progress. Just look at the old class photos. Now, what he was referring to as the great replacement is a phrase coined by French writer Renard Camus, referring to a hypothetical replacement of the ethnic French population in France with immigrants from the former colonies. Now, if he's actually found guilty, he'll face a fine of 2,000 euros that he has to pay within 60 days and will also face prison terms if he does not pay in time. Menard has not appeared to show any remorse as the trials. He said he has done nothing wrong, saying that with his controversial rhetoric on the highly debatable topic, he did not want to stigmatize anybody, but aimed to paint a real-life picture of what's going on in the French schools. His lawyer demanded the court clear him of all charges unless it wants to be known for pronouncing a death penalty for the freedom of thought. I like that. Now, what happened was last year, 2 years ago in May, he was accused of racism by another court and the charges were dropped after he blatantly, all he said is he blatantly counted the names of school children to determine how many of them were Muslim. That's all he did. He wanted to see how many kids in the school were Muslim. Coming up with the figure, 65% of the school children were Muslim in 2015. Keeping statistics on people's race or religion is illegal in France. So they're trying to charge this guy now with incitement of hatred simply because he said 91% of the children are Muslim in the inner city schools. This is a problem. This is where it goes, guys. This is what is starting to happen. The same thing is going to continue to happen here. We already see the hate speech towards us, the freedom of speech being dissolved when we say anything that the leftist doesn't like. They riot, they march, they throw rocks, they throw fireworks, they beat people, they drag them out of their cars in the middle of the road. This is how they respond if we say something they don't agree with. This is the fall of the First Amendment. The French don't have that over there. So he's going to a court for incitement of hatred simply for making a blatantly obvious statement that the Muslims are taking over France. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure all that out. So this is what's happening in Europe, guys. This is why it's so important we try to retake our rights back, because we'll slowly go over. I've told you guys this so many times. Europe is always a template. It's always the beta test for what the globalists are trying to push. What you see happen in Europe 4 or 5 years, that's what's starting to happen in here 4 or 5 years later in the United States. They constantly do that with Europe, and we see that happening now in the United States with all these different things that Europe's experienced over the last decade.
Well, you can't tell these guys the truth. You can't try to explain what's going on or it's a hate crime. I mean, it's crazy. It's yeah. Political correctness run amok. Now, back to Katy Perry, the wicked witch of the U.S. She is trying to buy a former nun's convent, and the sisters are unbelievably mad because it's still owned by the Catholic Church, and they don't want her to buy it because they say she's a witch. This is crazy. It's a true story. But she said this is an exclusive. Here it is, quote, "Come on, you didn't know you were going to a witchcraft thing?" The nuns roar back at it. Disgusting Katy Perry, who couldn't recall attending Salem's witch talk during a confrontation to protest her purchase of their former convent. Katy Perry has been branded disgusting by nuns at the center of the court battle over a spectacular former covenant in Los Angeles the singer wants to buy. Sister Rita Callahan, 78, and Sister Rose Catherine Holtzman, 86, are locked in a battle over who has the right to sell the historic convent where they once lived. They argue that the multi-million-dollar property in L.A.'s Los Feliz belongs to the nuns, while Archdiocese of Los Angeles says it is theirs to sell to Katy Perry. In a meeting with the Star, Sister Callahan quoted as her saying, "I have this tattoo on my wrist, and it says Jesus," Katy Perry said this, "and I wanted to say," the nun says, "yes, and what does the tattoo on your butt say?" This nun's getting down on her now. The nuns reveal that they had asked Perry about selling her soul to the devil, there we go, and her connection with the witchcraft of Salem, Massachusetts, which the singer could not recall. Which, of course, she openly admitted on TV that she sold her soul to the devil. These nuns know that. Perry was pictured participating in the Salem witch talk in 2014.
And the sisters, in a sense, they have taken their grievances all the way to the lawyer for the Pope who is handling their case. Now, this is some crazy stuff. Because here's the thing. This new Pope's pretty bad. All right, so we don't know what he's going to do. He's a Jesuit. But here's what I like about this. I don't agree with everything the Catholic Church does, but some of these nuns are pretty nice people, and these guys have had enough of this crazy stuff with Katy Perry and the wicked stuff. Everybody remembers, what was it, the MTV Awards or whatever it was, I forgot, Austin, a couple of years ago, when she was a witch with a cauldron, stirring a cauldron with all these ghouls and witches behind her, doing a full-blown satanic witchcraft ceremony on national TV. Katy Perry's parents are unbelievably just ashamed of her for what she's done. And what's interesting, I talked to a friend of mine who's a national radio talk show host, has been around for years, and at one time he was syndicated on over 300 stations globally around the United States and different parts of the world. And I'll never forget this. He told me that the other night, he texted me a thing and he said, this is confidential, so I can't mention his name. He said that he's talked to so many singers and entertainers who say that a lot of these guys really do sell their souls to the devil, that they make a real contract. In fact, I'm going to read you what he says. I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to give you his name, so I'm not going to divulge that, but I'm going to give you the guys what he said. This is interesting, Austin. I haven't read this to you yet. This kind of blew my mind when I got it in the other night. I said, you know, this is crazy. And he sent me a really, really long text. And he said, here's, and I'm going to skip parts of it, which may give him away a little bit. He goes, I'm going to skip part of this. He's talking about the English pedophile ring that includes the world, the elites of the world, and many children entertainers too, including Rolf Harris, who sang Tiny Kangaroo Down. Children's charities many times are being used to bring in young boys for pedophiles. And Podesta's and the blood soul stew goop they eat. Katy Perry's even been photographed and bragged about it. They do satanic ceremony and consume all kinds of stuff like semen and menstrual blood. And then he was talking about that some of these top bands, he gives me the name of this band and I'm not going to do it, have told me privately and basically made it public that you literally can sell your soul to the devil and get fame and money. We talked about this before with the Kabbalah strings and all the stuff they do. That is an actual real physical act that many of these people have done this. He said that they told me that's why none of the stars have mirrors, because that's how these demonic forces appear, and that celebs always have big entourages around them because they're just too frightened after they make the deal with Lucifer. They can't sleep and they need drugs. He goes, Madonna, Jennifer Lopez, Lil' Kim, and the worst is Jay-Z and Beyonce with their demonic symbolism in their acts, full of devil worshipers. Crazy stuff. Then he goes, look into John Kerry's visit to Antarctica in an area of dark energy right before the election. It was an emergency trip to the middle of an icy, barren area. And why? What was all it about? Something to do with very dark energy that's going on down there. And he said, the Oscars were down double digits. People have had enough of it. Their music, they keep telling us, is so great, it's not selling. And I can't give you that information. And then he says, and then a lot of these people are being killed. And he says, now they're killing people with cars. Now they're getting, it's been weeks, it's been proven. So he goes, prayer works. He goes, and we should be praying for Donald Trump. He's truly an outsider. We're trying to do good, I believe. And I believe that too, guys. And that's why I promoted Donald Trump through the election. I'm not going to read you the rest of this. But I want you to know something, guys. Donald Trump, because he's a deal maker, has done deals with a lot of really, really scrunchy people in his life. I guarantee you. A lot of mafia people, a lot of stuff to get stuff in the buildings, et cetera. And the reality is this. Sometimes, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, you just can't make deals with these people. You got to avoid them. The Bible says to flee from this stuff, and that's what you've got to do. You've got to walk away from it. When he sees Comey coming out and saying what he said with the FBI, Austin, you know what he needs to do? He needs to terminate him. He needs to say, I need your resignation on the desk immediately. This is not what this country's going to be about. That's what I would do. I'd say, you got to go. You know, Priebus, got to go. You know, Jared Kushner, got to go. Got to go. You guys have all got to go. We got to replace you. And don't do it so that you wipe out the entire administration in 1 week. But do it over a period of a few months and just get rid of these guys and say, need your resignation. Because with Flynn and all these guys, even Sessions, they want to go after the pedophile rings. Because remember, this is what it's all about, is the pedophile stuff. And guys, it just is what it is with this stuff going on. And people have to understand something. You know, this Hollywood group that is being given all of this money, there's some sickos out there, man. There's some real, real sickos, and they're now finally being made and being exposed for who and what they are. So, yeah, that's what I've got to say about that. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah. Well, since I keep my all of our listeners updated on the daily Sweden news, I have another one here, just so everybody's starting to realize, even the mainstream media can't even deny what's going on over in Sweden now. The police chief is now asking for reinforcements after they've had four violent murders in 2 days. Police were called out to another incident in Hallabergen in northern Stockholm, an area in which over 67% of the residences are foreign-born, either being from Lebanon or Syria. When police arrived at the house, they found a man on top of another man, stabbing him to death, forcing one of the officers to have to shoot the suspect. Inside the house, police discovered that a woman had already been brutally murdered. Her throat was cut open on both sides, while other reports said she'd actually been decapitated. The reports say there may be a link to an earlier murder in Stockholm, where one of the parents may have been a witness. Four people were arrested for the double murder, including two young middle-aged 20 and 21-year-olds. All four suspects were of Middle Eastern or North African descent. This incident was just the latest of the series of murders in Stockholm. On Wednesday night, two men were shot in the head as they sat in a car in a migrant area of Stockholm. Stockholm Police Chief Ulf Jonasson is now asking the National Police Chief for full resources and reinforcements to help out with the issue. Now, you have to understand what I'm saying here. Four murders, violent murders, in 2 days. That's 712 homicides in 1 year if these numbers continue to go. That's right up on par with Chicago. Now, Sweden has like 9 million people in the whole country. Chicago only has like 3 million people. So Chicago would still be worse. But guys, understand, this is all migrant influence. I can't find a single article where a Swedish-born, Northern European, Swedish man and his friend broke into a house and brutally murdered anybody. I can't find anything even remotely like that at all. Every single one of these violent, violent, sadistic crimes is by somebody that's not from that country. That should say enough to them in Sweden so far now that they're having to ask for full resources and reinforcements to bring the national police chief more weapons and more personnel because it's gotten out of hand. The liberals can't even deny this anymore, Dad. Sweden is going to a full Middle Eastern battleground status. And you know, something you said yesterday, we were talking about how that news correspondent in Iraq said that it's safer for women in Iraq now than it is in Sweden. And the other thing I thought about too, Dad, think about this in all these countries. All these photos we saw with them coming into Europe, coming into Germany, coming into Sweden, coming into France. What do we always see? 90 to 95% early age men, no women, no children, all fighting age males. So if that really is true, which I believe it is, these countries like Iraq and stuff like that have had large portions of these belligerent, militant, sadistic Muslim males leave that country and go to Europe, which would mean another reason why Iraq would be safer, because there's nobody in Iraq anymore, at least the population's much smaller, that engages in this type of violent acts. So how sad is that? That, I mean, that's where they've migrated now, to the European areas that have always been really, really pretty, well taken care of, very respectable people. This is what's happened to them now, Dad, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, the reason nobody wants to talk about it is because, you know, the reality is that the globalists want this to happen. The guys that are running the media, the guys that are basically doing what they do, the guys who control pretty much everything, these are the guys that are saying, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do, whether you want us to or not. How about that? And see, that's what it all boils down to. Because remember, you've got to go back to the Khazari Mafia. But next week we're going to have a guy on who's a specialist in this. Specialist. This is what he studied for the last 30, 40 years. And he's in his 70s, so we got to get him on while he's still here. Because a lot of the stuff that happened with the Treaty of Versailles, a lot of stuff that was written about that, all the guys are gone with all that now. They've already passed on to be with the Lord. So we've got to get these guys on when they have this type of information, when they've studied it their entire lives, and try to figure out what's going on. This guy is actually a pastor. He's out of Norway. And so we can talk to him about all of this stuff and bring him on next week, and it'll be a really, really good show. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, well, definitely. This is pretty wild here, too. I don't know if I have enough time to cover it. It basically goes into detail. I'll give you the brief synopsis. Over in Europe now, the smart meters were giving insanely high readings, which they've done in the United States here, too. But they actually did a full study at the University of Twente in collaboration with the Amsterdam University. Excuse me. And found that the smart readers, that 5 out of the 9 meters that they tested in their experiment were reading 582% higher actual energy consumption. They said the greatest inaccuracies were seen when dimmers combined with energy-saving light bulbs and LED bulbs were connected to the system. The inaccurate readings are attributed to the energy meters design together with the increased use of the modern switching device. So that may have been another reason, Dad, why all these companies are really, really pushing for these smart meters. Not only is it really bathe everybody in this horrible frequency, but again, they can manipulate it and allow these smart meters to go up on your actual usage, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it unless you have independent verified testing done, which costs a lot of money.
Smart meters are awful. They're just awful.
Yeah.
Quick quote, and I got to go. Franklin Graham is weighing in on the Beauty and the Beast movie. Apparently, they have a nice, exclusively gay moment with an openly gay character in Beauty and the Beast. So, guys, I'm warning you guys, don't take your children to this. This is one of those things. We as Christians can't promote this. Disney's apparently coming out of the closet now, since they're pretty much have been out of the closet a long time. And they're bringing openly gay characters into the children's movies. Unbelievable. Guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your supplements through us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for praying to us. Thank you for being our friends. We appreciate you guys so much. We love you. Austin, go ahead and close. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. And Beauty and the Beast, I know a lot of people love that movie, the older one from Disney. But always remember, guys, that whole movie was designed to promote bestiality. That was the first movie that Disney ever produced that actually openly showed a female character falling in love with an animal, because that's what he is. He's a beast, and then he turns into a man after that whole thing with the flower or whatever. So just remember the whole context and the storyline behind that movie. Very dark, a lot of very weird symbolism, and the whole premise is based on bestiality. Very, very weird stuff if you look up that movie. But guys, we appreciate everything. Check it out. The product of the week is up again from yesterday. We've had a lot of sales on it. B Complex, our bioactive B vitamins, on sale for over 10% off. Great deal. Awesome product. Also remember too, the Doug 30 coupon ends tonight on the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan. That's our 30% off on our Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan. That coupon ends tonight at midnight. You guys need anything, email us, call us. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.